ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోకశంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. ఓం సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. సో లెట్ అస్ చాంట్ టూ మంత్రస్ బిగినింగ్ విత్ ద ఫస్ట్ వన్.
జాగ్రత్స్వప్నసుషుప్తిషు స్ఫుటతరా యా సంవిదుజృంభతే యా బ్రహ్మాది పిపీలికాంతతనుషు ప్రోతా జగత్సాక్షిణి సైవాహం నచ దృశ్యవస్త్వితి దృఢ ప్రజ్ఞాపి యస్యాస్తి చేత్ చాండాలోస్తు సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురురిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. బ్రహ్మైవాహమిదం జగచ్చ సకలం చిన్మాత్ర విస్తారితం సర్వం చైతద విద్యయా త్రిగుణయా శేషం మయా కల్పితం. ఇత్తం యస్య దృఢా మతిః సుఖతరే నిత్యే పరే నిర్మలే చాండాలోస్తు సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురురిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ.
We're looking at these words. Brahmaivahamidam jagachasakalam chinmatra vistaritam. Brahmaiva aham. Aham Brahma eva. I am the jagatkarana Brahma and nothing else except Brahma. Jagachasakalam chinmatra vistaritam. And this whole jagat which I objectify is an extension, a mithyabhuta extension of myself, who is nothing but chinmatram, samvit, that consciousness alone. And when we say consciousness, always keep it is not just chit, it is sachit which is being extended all the way.
Sarvam chaita davidyaya trigunaya ashesham maya kalpitam.
So all of this, without any exception, ashesham, has been projected, has been manifested by me with my maya shakti, avidyaya trigunaya, with my maya shakti which is trigunatmika, sattva rajas tamasatmika, with that maya shakti alone all this has been projected. Ittham yasya dridhamatihi, in this manner one who has this clear understanding, clarity, conviction that this Brahman, which is Sukhatara, Nitya, Para, Nirmala, with respect to this Brahman, therefore all in Saptami, Sukhatare, Nitye, Pare, Nirmale, one who has this conviction that I am indeed this Brahman, who is of this nature, and everything else that I objectify, the subject object, is all a projection, a manifestation owing to Maya Shakti, which is Trigunatmika, and this Trigunatmika Maya Shakti has no being independent of me, which means all that is here is me alone. This understanding one who has, Chandalostu Satu Dvijostu, whether he is a Chandala or he is a Dviju, Dvija in a personality, Saha Guruhu Iti Esha Manisha Mama. I have this very clear understanding that he is my guru. He is not other than my guru. He is not other than Ishvara. This is my understanding. So we had looked at the words Sukhatare Nitye. So Sukhatara, as we saw, is really every Sukha in Samsara is really a limited expression of the Sukha which is my very Swarupa. Because every sukha that we see is having some obstruction. to the extended obstruction is removed, to that extent we feel the pleasure. So the degrees of happiness really is not degrees of happiness, it is a degrees of freedom from unhappiness. That's what it is. That degrees of freedom from unhappiness makes us feel a bit happier, less happy, more happy. Therefore, Acharya is using the phrase sukhatare. Any sukha that you feel in samsara, what you call I experienced happiness, I experienced sukha, every one of those sukhas pales when it comes to this sukha. When I say pales, understand, this is the expression I am using, not to show that Brahma sukha will be something much better. This idea can come, so probably not the best way to say it. That sukhatara is not an increase in the degree of happiness. Because anything which has a degree, which is subject to increase and decrease, can again reduce. Therefore, the sukha we are talking about is the very nature of the vastu, and it is just the freedom, the limitlessness. It is cognitive. It is not a matter to be experienced. Every experience is an experience of Brahman alone. Each and every experience that we have is nothing but Brahman experience. We don't need a special extra sukhatara experience to know Brahman. What we are trying to say is that every sukha you see is born of, has its very being in the sukha swarupa, which is Brahman. Therefore, how do you now explain what is that Brahman in terms of what we look in Purusharatha? We look for happiness. We look for freedom from limitation. Therefore, Brahman is presented in those terms as sukhatara, which means, as I said, that sukhatamattum. There is no other sukha, this is the only sukha. Or I can say, this is the only sukha, everything else is what? A shadow of that sukha. But not in terms of degrees of experience. Okay? Because we should not be thinking, then every sukha I have had not good enough, then I will have, there will be an expectation now. One day I will have Brahman bliss, and that will be something, you know, that expectation itself will deny us of what we are. So we are not trying to set ourselves up for that. This is an expression to show the limitless nature of Brahman. Okay, Anandam. Nitya visa is a word which is used to show the time itself folds into this vastu, into Brahman. So Brahman is the very content of time. It is not a length of time. It does not outstay Brahman time in that sense, in time. Okay? So we have to talk of Srishtehe Prak. Prak means what? Before. Before Srishti, what was there? So the word before is in time. And time is part of the Srishti. What can I talk of before Srishti? Language does not support an ability to express something outside of time. But the fact is, we are talking of the very content of time. Present, as we saw yesterday, is normally present that we understand is a present with a length of time. When that length is dropped to zero, then the present is nothing but me, the vastu. Therefore, now is me. So, Swamiji sometimes will do a meditation where he says, now, see the meaning of now. Without any using any words, see the meaning of now. Without thinking, see the meaning of now. What does it mean? You have to just see the fact that now is me, which means I am the content of time. Okay? So that is the word nitye. Next one is pare. Paraha means more exalted, that which is above, that which transcends. All these meanings will come with para. So para always should take a point of reference. Para with reference to what? So I can say, you know, somebody is taller than somebody else. A is taller with reference to B. C is taller than B. D is taller than C. You can keep on going. What is para now? So, sarvaihi api, you know, sarvadapi. Compared to everything else, it is utkrishtaha, paraha, which means that which transcends in all ways everything else. Because it is the only reality, it is that limitless reality which transcends everything else. And we can also look at it as para-purushartha. It is para for us from our perspective. So it is there is nothing more. Once you understand this, the person who knows recognizes there is nothing more to be done. Because every time I think that after I achieve this, I will be comfortable. But when I achieve that, I find that there are more demands waiting for me to be fulfilled. Right? So, then when I finish those, there are more demands waiting. There is never a point where you will say, it's all done. One may say it's all done, saying, look, anyway, pragmatism, you know. Anyway, this is all you can do. I've done enough. That's enough. But that is because one doesn't know that one can achieve more. So, Vedantin is not a person who wants to settle for less. So, Paraha means what? The highest. There is nothing more to be achieved. The limitless has been achieved. Cannot be improved upon. That's the meaning of Paraha. That which cannot be improved upon. Nirmale. Nirmalaha means the one which is free from any impurity. Nirmalaha. So, one way of looking at Nirmala, see, what is Mala? What is impurity? Depends on how you look at it. Okay? If you are growing, you know, a crop of some particular thing. Let's say you are growing a crop of beans. Alright? And there you found some plants in between which were tomatoes. Okay? Tomato is not what you want. You want only beans. Then tomato becomes what? Mala. Suppose you are growing tomatoes. You want to grow only tomatoes. Then beans becomes what? Mala. So, mala is what? Mala is a way of talking. Of saying, what is it that you consider undesirable? Right? But essentially it also means a thing other than what you are looking for. Mala is a thing other than what you want. That itself becomes the source of disturbance which you don't want. So if I only want beans plants, I have to pull out all tomato plants. Because maybe I am going to spray some pesticide or put some manure which will only work for one. Therefore, the other becomes a thing to be removed. So in the same way, is there any mala with respect to Brahman? So the mala is what? All your nama rupas can be mala. Right? Everything can be mala if it was other than Brahman. So how do you recognize Brahman as Nirmalam? By seeing the fact that it is the only reality. And everything else is but an expression of that. There are so many perceptions that we have. No perception, no matter what object it brings into me, can disturb or displace my awareness. My very being, my satyam, my nature, nothing can displace it. Therefore, this Brahman, when it's recognized as satyavastu, then there can be no mala. So it is not one from which mala has gone away. Samasa will be like that. Nirgataha malam yasmat. So, that from which this impurity has gone away. What was the impurity? The impurity was avidya siddha. Avidya krita mala. So avidya itself is the primary mala. And that mala also has no being independent of Brahman. Because whatever is there is dependent on Brahma alone. Brahman has no problem accommodating avidya also. That is why if we don't make an effort, avidya can coexist with Brahman. It has no problem. Avidya can only be displaced by what? By vidya, which is a vritti vidya, vritti jnanam. That vritti jnanam is necessary to displace this avidya. And when that avidya goes, I recognize what? That I have become free from avidya? What do I recognize? Do I recognize I have become free from avidya? No. I recognize that I never had avidya. Avidya is not there at all, was never there, can never be there, because Brahman does not really intrinsically have avidya in it. So I was never bound, that is my understanding. Not that I have become freed, because moksha is notional. Avidya was notional, bandha was notional, moksha is notional. All these notions, sukha, dukha, bandha, moksha, All of these notions are supported or are held in place by one Satyavastu, which is Brahman, which is myself. And this Brahman is now recognized after the cognition of what it really is through Mahavakya, that it is free, it was free from any kind of impurity, malam. Therefore, nirmalam means that which is free from all mala. So, now you can understand. So, this kind of a Brahman, which is characterized by sukhataratvam, nityatvam, paratvam, nirmalatvam. This kind of a Brahman, I understand as aham tat brahma eva. This is my understanding. So, every word you will see is here, because we have a tendency to have a different understanding of Brahman. So, if you thought, for example, that Brahman is one more thing in time, then the word Nitya comes to just knock off that understanding, wrong understanding, Viparita Bhavana, that Brahman is in time. If we think that typically we will talk about, you know, there is a lot of Ashuddhi here, you know, Antahkarana Ashuddhi is there, how can I know Bhagavan, I am Papi, all these ideas are there, I am a sinner, all these have to be going, how will it go, I have got infinite karma, how will all this Papa karma go, it won't go, therefore I am always Ashuddha. If you have that notion, then what is it telling you? No. You are totally free from any Ashuddhi at any point, and you never had any Ashuddhi. No truck with it at all. Similarly, if you thought, okay, I should have Brahman, I should have something more, that Paratvam will negate that idea. There is nothing more to be accomplished after understanding what is Brahman. That Paratvam is removed. So I am saying, if I think I know Brahman, and I think now I know Brahman, Swamiji, I know Brahman now, what should I do now? Question. 3-year course is over. Brahman is all understood very well. Now what should I do? What should you do? Nothing needs to be done really. For you to be free, nothing needs to be done. So to understand that nothing needs to be done, you understand is para. It need not be and cannot be improved upon. So every word you will see with going with Brahman will be knocking out some sense of limitation that we have assumed regarding the vastu. Okay? So this kind of a Brahman, means this clarity, when I have a... See, all these words help to show the clarity with reference to Brahman. So if all I understood was what? Brahmaivaham idam. Okay? Aham Brahmaiva. Idam sarvam chinmatra vistaritam. It is all extended by my consciousness. So there is one Purupakshi who says, will come and ask, I can understand. See, he takes Chinmatra Vistaritam to understand it as a creation of the mind, a projection of the mind. Alright? So he says, if I see a snake in a rope, or if I see silver in a shell, and you say that was Chinmatra Vistaritam, I can understand. Okay? Any projection, subjective projections I have made, I can understand what you are saying. That this whole thing is my own projection, I created it. Kalpitam, maya kalpitam. But how can you say this entire thing, this mala that I see, how can you say this is not real? How can you say that? It is not vistaritam by me. It is there. Then what do we have to say? We have to explain the fact that we did not mean Chinmatra Vistaritam as extension of my mind. It is not a subjective projection I am talking about. It has a Vyavaharika Satta. It is true, but its truth is only until you recognize another level of truth. The dreamer's fears are true until he is in dream. Only when he recognizes he is not the dreamer is he able to come out of that fear. So I'm saying, so also here, this needs to be understood very clearly. And somebody who is, see, the problem begins because one is able to unbundle the sat, chit from the body, mind, senses. I only see, as I told you yesterday, one integral person, myself. I am unable to see two in it. So that Tvampada Viveka becomes so important, because unless you can separate out and see yourself as something other than this body and mind which also comes and goes, there is no possibility of recognizing the truth. Because somebody else will say that, see, the Dvaitins say what? Everything is real. Everything is real. So there is no, why? Because they cannot see anything different. The Vishishta Dvaiti will say what? That you are a part of the whole. Because it's easier to see part-whole relationship. But this is trying to show that there is a level of mithya and satyam. The difference is over there. You are the satyam, everything else is mithya. A Bauddha says what? Shunyavadin. He says, there is nothing. He is unable to see the difference between the consciousness, right, and the cognitions that come and go. So what he is able to see is that one cognition, another cognition, another cognition, between cognitions, what is there? He says, there is nothing. So the whole attention is to find a truth outside of myself. The attempt is that I have taken myself, I don't take myself to account really. I'm only looking. Where is the truth? So then what do I see? The only truth I see is some object which is brought into my cognition by a vritti. And when there is no vritti, at that time what is there? There is nothing to cognize. When there is nothing to cognize, he says there is shunyam. Therefore the conclusion is what? Idam sarvam shunyam. There is no reality, there is only shunyatvam. What he is discounting, that he is present, he is the one who is witnessing this shunyatvam. And that, even when pointed out, they are not willing to accept. They want to prove I am a zero. So Shankara does not even want to argue with him. He says, who should I argue with? Are you there? If he says I am there, shunyatvam is gone. If he says I am not there, then there is nothing to argue. Okay, so Shankara does not spend any time, in one of the places, he doesn't spend any time to argue. He just says, I can only argue with the real fellow who is around. If there is nobody, there is nothing to argue. But yet I am saying, you can see that the possibility is there. Because people have spent their lifetimes doing a meditation of some kind and trying to arrive at this truth that I am zero. Therefore, Shruti does not let us do that. It brings in a lot of adjectives. Like this, Nityam, Paraha, Nirmalaha. Zero is not Paraha. That is not what I am looking for. Purna is another word which will help a lot. Because Shunyam and Purnam are what? Two opposite ends of the spectrum. So that Purnatvam means I am the whole. They say I am a zero. That also has the whole in it. Okay? Only the W is missing. But we understand it as that whole is who I am. So that is the purport of what is being said here. That Brahmaivahamidam jagachasakalam chinmatra vistaritam. So everything else is mithya. And that mithya, here we can see that the mithya is being accounted for. We have to account for what we say is not me. And that accounting is done by what? Sarvam chaitad avidyaya ashesham maya kritam. With what? Trigunaya kalpitam. With this trigunatmika maya kalpitam. And what is this maya? This maya is shakti which has its being in me. Therefore, everything is nothing than me. As I said, there is a Pathabheda also which says sesham maya kalpitam. Not ashesham, sesham. Sesham will mean what? Ishena saha. Which means everything including Ishvara is my creation. How do you understand that part of Veda? You understand it that this Isham, don't take Isham as Isham. Isham now you have to look at only as the Ishvaratva aspect of it. Okay? So this Ishvaratvam, what makes Ishvaratvam of anything? This Maya Upadhi bestows Ishvaratvam on the Vastu. The vastu is the same. It is the same you saw. What? Yadeva iha tadeva amutra. Whatever is there in the jiva upadhi, that very atma is also there in the samashti brahma upadhi. So this Ishvara is the same. I mean, the vastu is the same. Then what made the upadhi? What made Ishvara? The Ishvara was because of the maya upadhi. So therefore, this trigunayam, you know, trigunaya kalpitam, maya. All that is here is only me. Therefore, if there is anything else, where can it come from? When there is no second thing, where can it come from? It can only come from me. Therefore, a person who recognizes this may not know how I am doing all this, because one only knows I am a cognitive being and I am aware of all that is here. And I see that this is how I am. I am in this form of samashti and vyashti, in the form of individual and total, in the form of subject and object. This is how I am. Finally, we don't need anything else. I have to be able to say that the entire universe that I experience, the whole experience is me. This is how I am. And that this is how I am, in that this Isha is one aspect, Jiva is one aspect, all that is also as though created by me, because it all has its being in me. Therefore, Sesham Maya Kalpitam, which means even Ishvara does not limit me, because Ishvara is not other than me. I am the truth of Ishvara as well. Takes a lot more to say that. To say I am Ishvara takes something. To say I am the truth of Ishvara takes something more to say. But that is the meaning of Sesham Maya Kalpitam. So that's a way to look at it. So some readings will say Sesham Maya Kalpitam. But somewhere else I saw Shesham. That doesn't make sense. Okay? Either you take it as Ashesham or you take it as Sesham. I recall Puja Swami doing it as Ashesham and not as Sesham. Because Swami always equates Ishvara and Brahman. He does not try to show there is one Ishvara. If you heard, I think Swami said it in our course also. What? First there is Brahman. Then what? What is Ishvara? Brahman plus Maya. If Brahman plus Maya is Ishvara, Maya is real or not? Orientation. If Maya is real, then Maya becomes another thing to reckon with. Therefore, they become two, Brahman and Maya. And Swamiji does not want us to, in any way, orient ourselves in a way which will lead us astray. Therefore, he says what? There is no Brahman plus Maya minus Maya. Why? There is nothing wrong if you say Brahman plus Maya, if you understand the plus is like the pot being plus to clay, or this dress being a plus to cotton. But that you need to understand. So therefore, Ishvara is Jagat Karanam. And that Jagat Karanam is Brahman. Because Brahma Sutras presents him as what? Yatova, I mean, it is Yataha. You know, it's Janmadhyasya Yataha. So Janma, Sthiti, Laya, all of these is from whom? That is Brahman. Therefore, we are not presenting just Sachidananda as the Karanam. We are presenting Jagat Karanam to account for the Jagat. Just presenting the Sarupa does not account for the Jagat. So you want to present the Karanam in a way which accounts for the Jagat. Therefore, Sopadhika, Mayopadhika, Brahma alone is talked about. And that is Ishvara, is one way of saying it. But I'm saying, Swamiji would several times, even Shankara used the word Brahma and Ishvara interchangeably. So we should know that clearly. So if you look at it that way, then I'm saying, Sesham, when you see, you will have a problem. Because how can I create Brahman? Don't look at it there. Look at it that way in that context. Understand here, Isham will mean this Sarvajnatvam, Sarveshwaratvam, all these gunas of Ishvara, due to which I see a difference between Ishvara and Jiva at the Vachyartha. That is what is being talked about here. Okay? More we'll see whenever we have the next class, which will, I think, be Friday or Sunday. Om Sar Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. हरिः ओम्।